It's brand new, season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Hey, hey, top of the morning to you. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard along with you live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Fun show lineup over the next 3 hours today. Matt Eumann's on the show in 30 minutes from right now. He'll be on for 2 segments, his best bets in college basketball and some golf this week with Matt. And back end of today's show, Dalen Cuff, ESPN college basketball analyst, will be on to get his best bets and thoughts on today's card in college basketball. We will get to as much of the college basketball as we can. Of course, we will start with the big news that came out yesterday in the NFL with Calvin Ridley getting suspended for the entire upcoming 2022 season as he was busted for gambling on games. This is when he was out with the Falcons this year. I'm sure you know the story already. It's been in the news cycle for coming up on, 24 hours here pretty soon. But he placed a legal mobile bet in Florida with the Hard Rock Casino. In turn, they then flipped, told Genius Sports, and then they oversee betting integrity for the NFL. Turns out, Paulie, he placed 3, 5, and 8-game parlays that did include the Falcons. And I'm actually, I'm not surprised. This was going to happen sooner than later with how much sports gambling and the NFL, but these sports books now have become partners. Like, it was inevitable, right? Legal in 30-plus states. Some player was eventually going to do this.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, this was going to happen.
Okay.
Maybe, well, maybe not the way. We'll talk about all. Maybe not the way in which he did, which was completely idiotic. But some player was going to gamble eventually, and now it's Calvin Ridley who gets a year suspension.
Well, this is boy, oh boy. When you look at the national media with stuff like this,
I had to avoid it.
Oh, you have to.
I had to avoid it.
I mean, he had inside information. Yeah, his inside information was Jacksonville sucks.
You're right.
That's right. Okay. Number two, the punishment doesn't fit the crime. I mean, this is lunacy. And for Goodell to watch that Ray Rice video where he knocked his girlfriend out cold, video of it,
yep.
2 games. Initially,
think about
two games, and this guy, hey, it could be worse. It's indefinitely. It's at least now you can appeal and see what happens. Another one, get off Twitter. Stop tweeting.
Yes.
Who's giving this guy advice?
Mm-hmm.
Get off Twitter. Oh, I'm going to be fresh now. Oh, I don't have a gambling problem. No, I don't have a gambling problem. I understand it's only $1,500, but the guy keeps tweeting.
Sure. So he admitted it right out of the gates yesterday, which means there's going to be no appeal. can't appeal this now, basically, because you flat out said on Twitter, yeah, it was $1,500, no gambling problem.
Oh, my God. And then to do it under his own name and sit there while he's off with mental health and to sit here and put 3, 5, and 18 parlays in for a total of $1,500. I mean, he's right about that. I mean, it's nothing. It's like the regular guy betting $5 parlays. He makes $4 million a year, but he did it in a free agency year, and now he's going to be out of football for almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. What happened? But Brian McCarthy emailed several people about their guidelines and rules, that it does not matter whether sports betting is legal or illegal in a given state. If you work in the NFL in any capacity, you may not bet on NFL football. Betting on games is forbidden. And all NFL personnel prohibited from placing or facilitating any bet, whether directly or through a third party, on any NFL game, practice, or other event. But also, you could also get in trouble if someone tries to bribe you. It's like, hey, lay down, throw this, and you don't report it.
Sure.
You get in trouble for that, too.
Sure.
But this is just incredibly stupid by Ridley.
Oh, of course. The way that he did this now. I mean, at a league. But here's the beauty of this, right? The checks and balances of legal sports betting is the reason why he got caught.
Yes.
So that's good, then. That's actually a really good thing. This is working, right? And it wasn't with an offshore book that never would have been reported, or it wasn't, you know, with a bookie somewhere and nobody ever found out about it, where then you get into like the real murky waters where, well, okay, now he's betting against his team, that kind of a deal. That, okay, so this is good, right? But also on a phone, on an app, and then you were out of state? Dude, you have friends? Yes.
Yeah.
You have cash? Yeah, plenty of it. What are you doing? And they are told, I mean, this is from former players. They will all tell you, basically, when you step on the football field in college, you are told over and over and over again, you can't bet on games. And then it turns into like a rookie symposium in the NFL. Now, they used to have it right in locker rooms in the NFL.
And Mike Pritchard, yes, yeah.
He doesn't know
for a long time.
He doesn't know if it's still like that anymore. I'm sure it is, but it says right there, like in all the locker rooms, you cannot gamble on this sport. You can't gamble at all. And then he takes a shot with $1,500 on three. Now, here's the deal. Like, I mean, to me, the year-long suspension feels like it's a really long time. But in the NFL, trying to figure out how they're going to come down. Greg Hardy got 4 games. There were pitchers of guns on the bed and bruises all over his ex.
Yeah.
4 games.
Yeah. It's fair.
Josh Gordon pretty much blackballed for smoking weed. Okay. So predicting what the NFL is going to do is impossible. But the reason why, if you want to tell me a year makes sense to you, I'll buy it, because they do kind of have to set a precedent that, hey, guys, it's a bad look if you are betting on games in this league.
Yeah, because tinfoil hat guy, and even having it in the media. I mean, this guy who works for Fox Sports is a disgrace. This guy tweeting out a video about, I'm not saying he's fixing games, but this is damning evidence here. Because he fell down short of the marker once, and the game was well before this ever happened. This game was years ago because this happened. I mean, that is ridiculous. That is an absolutely ridiculous take to come out with that. But how about the Falcons? You know, the Patriots tried to make a trade. Other teams tried to make a trade. And the Falcons are like, nah, in good faith, we can't do it.
What do you think of that?
Well, I would have made the trade.
Does it give you more respect for the Falcons?
Yeah, but still, I would have said,
here you go.
You're on a need-to-know basis.
Right.
You don't need to know right now.
Yeah.
You want to make the trade, okay?
How does that look, though, if it comes back that they made the trade and then they knew about it the entire time? Like, what would the NFL do about that? I wouldn't be surprised if the NFL would rescind the trade.
Yeah, that's possible, too.
You know?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on a second here. You guys knew about this and you still dealt the guy? No, come on. Can't have that.
I don't understand his tweet about, well, I couldn't even watch football.
Yeah, I don't know what that
means. Because he was away from mental health. It was, I don't know, maybe coming back at the inside information or something.
I don't get that either.
I don't know. Yeah, I couldn't even watch football. I don't know.
And let me give
you, it's like trying to make it seem okay.
So I had a tough time kind of understanding what this whole out-of-state thing meant at first. And I'll give you a tweet. This is from Albert Breer, who said, how did he get busted? He was in Florida and use the only gambling app legal in the state. The app notified a compliance company the NFL has hired called Genius for this kind of thing, as we told you about. And then he also, Breer tweeted, that he was out of state was a factor in Ridley's activity being flagged. Does that mean that, so he's in Georgia, that's where he lives, and plays with the Falcons, although he was away from the team, because he traveled to Florida during the season and bet on the games? Or does that mean that he got the app when he was in Florida, put money in it, and then he actually changed the geolocation on his phone to bet from Georgia, which adds another new wrinkle to this whole thing? And if he did that, which I don't think he did, but if that's what That's why I was confused by the tweets when they first came out. I'm like, if he went to the links to change the geolocation to bet from Georgia on a Florida app, well, then you're talking about like feds getting involved, that kind of a deal potentially, where it's like, you can't be doing that, pal. That part's totally illegal.
What took so long?
That's a good question.
I mean, if this happened in late November, and then they report him immediately, what's there to investigate? Because apparently, according to Goodell in his statement, he came right in and owned it. But what he did, I mean, what's he going to say? I mean, he's caught red-handed. But he's like, right under your own name.
I mean, we're coming up on the middle of March. This happened in November?
Yeah, right.
Boy, that is a long time.
Uh-huh. I thought maybe he bet against this team because I saw late November. At the schedule, it was the Thursday night game at home to the Patriots when they were shut out. And they had that Motley Crue out there, the backups and bums who they were playing.
I was dying to get all the details on this.
Yes.
Right? Imagine if he actually bet against the Falcons.
Yes.
Okay. Then I'm guessing he's never going to play in the league ever again. But the whole way that he approached this.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. Goodell's on the clock, too. Compare this. If it's true, I think it is. Compare this to Russ.
It's not even close.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. If you have an owner offering $100,000 to the coach per loss, some guy who's making $4 million a year betting parlays?
Yep. And you
compared to that?
And you're going to suspend Ridley for a year but do nothing about Stephen Ross? I mean, if this is proven true about Ross going to Flores and telling him to tank and lose games on purpose for $100,000, and Goodell, and by the way, I'm guessing Goodell probably already, well, you'd have to go to a jury and that kind of thing probably to figure out whether or not it was true or not, unless Ross admits it. But if he would happen to know, and he's still, you know.
Well, there's witnesses. Apparently there's witnesses
that
heard it.
I know.
So that's it.
That's
the team, you're done.
That's the worst of the worst right there.
Yeah.
Like crooked refs, really bad. But an owner wanting to pay a coach to tank games, that's as bad as it gets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Ross Tucker had a great tweet. He's on this show from time to time. Other people, it's like this is the worst ROI you're ever going to see. I mean, he bet $1,500 and lost $11, $12 million.
$11, $12 million.
Yeah. Look at it.
Yeah. But for years, right? The NFL would never even dip their pinky toe into the shallow end. And then all of a sudden, legal sports betting gets passed. They partner with a bunch of sports books, and they're doing cannonballs off the cliffs from 40 feet up. And then a player bets $1,500 parlays. Get out of the league!
Yeah.
We hate you. We can't have this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's incredible. He's out the whole year at least. Jesus.
I know.
What was he thinking?
Would he
just shoot some dice? Go play roulette with Dan.
Yes.
Come on.
Right.
What's he doing?
From your own phone?
Oh,
on an app?
Oh, my God. Call a cousin.
I'm glad. Actually, I've heard.
I know the rules, which is, again, he's incredibly stupid with the rules, and they tell you all the time. But, I mean, the guy just spent like a five-team, an eight-team parlay.
For the part that I did hear with some former players, they actually did say the dumbest part about the whole thing is what we just talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a fall guy, as Chris Carter said.
Uh-huh.
You have somebody with cash go make it at a book. You don't go on your phone all of a sudden and download get the app up and put in parlays under your own name. The first hour of Follow the Money is brought to you exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com. We'll recap all of last night's fantastic action. My God, some of the beats, the buzzer beaters, the upsets, the line moves, and win some, lose some. That's coming up next.
Some, lose some is presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
All right, here we go. Good call. Mitchell Pistons money line puts 240. They beat the Hawks. Bogdanovich with a horrible foul late. Bagley said, hold my beer. Then Collins split the free throws. And Detroit wins in overtime. They are feisty. They're playing good ball. They're tough right now.
Yes,
Detroit.
They are.
Good job.
Like, they get the Bulls tomorrow night at home. They can win that game.
Atlanta, be careful. Porzingis now. Little Porzingis. On the Wizards. They could catch him. Mm. Wilmington, Charleston. Oh, they were loving. The markets were all over unders last night in college. And they won the majority of them. Wilmington, Charleston under 143 to 137. Cash it. Townsend, Delaware under 141 to 137. Not even close. Cash it. What was that from Townsend? They were the one seed.
Oh, that was brutal.
They were terrible.
Yeah.
They made one run, and then Delaware pulled away. Cleveland State, Wright State under 149 down to 140. Well, it snuck over. Oh, that was my fault. It exploded late. Oh, my mistake. IPFW, Northern Kentucky under 137 to 133.
Look at that final score.
That game was ugly.
57-43.
Another blowout. St. Mary's, Santa Clara. That got over as well, too. My fault. Timberwolves, Blazers under 235 down to 231. Not even close. Last night in the association, home team 7-1 straight up. And no LeBron, Spurs from 2 up to 6.5. Covered by 7. I reached out to Jeff Sherman at the Westgate. He makes the Lakers 3-350 to make the playoffs. Plus 350. I said, what's the series price if they play the Warriors or Suns? He says, is everyone healthy? I said, yeah. He says, 5-1.
5-1 to win the series.
5-1 to win this best of 7.
Wow.
If everyone's healthy. How about that, right? Great videos today. Good mix. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends as well. This is for you. This is the Gorilla Roller Coaster. No, thank you. Oh, my God. I don't know where this is. This is sick. Oh, my God. Coming up, King Kong. Oh, no.
Okay, that doesn't even look enjoyable.
No.
It looks like you go there to get beat up.
Like it's like King Kong's winding you
up
here.
Yeah, right.
It's creative, but that's scary. I don't want any part of that.
How is that fun, actually?
No. Ooh. I couldn't do it.
No.
No way. A Naga Pie is pronounced Naga Pie? This is incredible video. Look at this. From under the bed for the treat in the guy's hand. Get up there. Sticks the landing.
Oh, the accuracy.
Nails. How does that happen? That's awesome.
The athleticism. What's the vertical on this thing?
Sure, right. Was he at the combine?
I know. I want to see him run the 40.
Wow. Beautiful. That is great video. Back-to-back bear videos. I don't know what they are. They're out training in the woods. The sinister cold. It's so bad out there. Could be Russian. I don't know. But look at this. Is that Khabib? What's the bear doing? Helping out on the branch. He's helping out.
Spotting him somehow.
Yeah, right. Is it doing a little shadow boxing? Coming in?
Like it's nothing.
Is that guy doing in the background? The bear. Oh, God. I don't care if it's fake. I still love it. Like this one. This very well could be a guy in a costume. But this guy hanging out about why don't we domesticate bears like we do with cats. Look at this. The guy's got the thumbs up. The bear's got this. You see the snow and stuff on his belly? It still looks like it's a human being.
Really does. It does. Yeah, the way it's sitting down.
Yes.
If that's real, the bear is going to, lick his head? With one bite, he could pull his head right off.
Oh, it's all over. Yeah. Absolutely.
Look at the smile on the guy's face. Huh? Hunky dory, this is living life.
Yeah. Is that Hank
Thumbs
the Tank?
Up? Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. That guy breaks into your home and he looks for some honey.
Hang out, have a beer.
This was all over social media. This is crazy. Look at this at a high school basketball game. Now people are saying, look what Curry's done to the game. I mean, come on. Give me a break. But they just go back and forth for about 30 seconds and they're trading half court shots. They just keep going further. I go, okay. I raise you.
Yep. That's exactly what it is, Paul. It turns into a battle of manhood right here.
This guy comes over just over half court with a hand in his face.
Boom. Now watch.
Unlike Tennessee Chattanooga. Get a hand up.
I think this is this the last one of the video? Crosses half court. Yeah, okay. How's that one from the logo?
Oh my God. And nothing. Look at the people.
No reaction. Ho hum, this is what NBA or this is what basketball's turned into.
Give me a break. Lose some. South Dakota State, South Dakota under. 157 to 151. No good. Georgia State, Louisiana Lafayette under 138 down to 132. Warriors Nuggets under 223.5 to 220.5. Yeah, Warriors hung in there.
Mm-hmm.
Got inside the number. Lost by 7. Game flew over. Bulls Sixers over 229 up to 232.5. No good. Lose some. Mick Cronin. In and out is overrated, he said.
Why would you say that?
In his backyard, UCLA.
You live
coach.
In LA. What are you doing?
How about that? It's a tasty burger, but it's just the hype train. It's so just everyone tell. I mean, the first time I ever went to California, you've been in and out, but you got to go to In-N-Out.
Yeah, right.
It's a great fries thing.
It lives up to it.
The burgers do, yes.
Yeah, burgers are outstanding.
Okay, fair enough. Bad beats. Bruins. Bruins lose at home. The Kings scored with 30 seconds left and then won in overtime. What happened here? The Avalanche plus money on the puck line. They led the Islanders 5-1 in the third period.
Yeah.
They fell asleep. They won 5-4.
Well, because that exploded late, right?
It
went from 1-1 to like 4-1 before you could blink Avalanche, and then 5-1, and then they gave it all back almost.
Yep, and Zagalicious laying 14. They're up by 24 with 7 minutes left. San Francisco got the money. It fell 10.
Yeah, outscored by 10 in the second half.
Yep. Win some, lose some, presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Log in and get a 20% live profit boost on the NBA every Tuesday. Learn more at BetRivers.com. Santa Clara got the money as well. St. Mary's won, but didn't cover. How about the Tennessee-Chattanooga game in the finish? Unbelievable. I cannot believe that was so bad at the end. Great game. But at the end, I can't believe Chattanooga is up 3. Furman has the ball.
Right.
There's 10 seconds left. 9, 8. And a guy he's going to the basket. And a guy for Chattanooga follows him. It's like, in his face, let him lay it in.
Right.
Who cares?
Now, again, why that's big is because they're up by 3. They're laying 1.5 or 2 for the game.
Yep.
Okay. So the coaches, by the way, are basically screaming at the players. You need to foul right now.
That's right.
And even there was some communication, I think, on the court. Like, we need to foul. So I actually thought, didn't Furman have the ball with like 20 seconds left? And they're running around like crazy? So they had their opportunities to foul, and they never did. And the guy somehow hits the 3.
The guy clears out. He bites because the guy penetrates to the basket, and he bites on it. It's like, what are you doing? You're up 3. And then there's 5 seconds left. He backs out to shoot the 3.
Right.
The guy doesn't even put a hand up.
Oh, no.
He just gives it to him.
Lets it fly.
Cash it. He hits the 3. They go to overtime. And then you get the game winner from way out. Bang. Chattanooga, the game winner. And they win. And, of course, again, didn't take my own advice, but certainly it opened 1, 1.5, closed 2. Just go money line there. But still, I can't. You have to foul. Number two, what are you doing chasing the guy to the basket? Let him lay it in. Who cares? But before that, foul. And then the guy goes back after he fakes going to the hoop, comes all the way back, dribbles out from 3. The guy doesn't even put a hand up.
I know.
I couldn't believe it.
Well, here's the thing.
Come on.
It's like, to me, this whole conversation, we can tie that into that video that you just played in high school when they're going bombs away from 45 feet, right? It's the mentality and how kids approach the game today. I mean, it should be automatic that you're on the court, you know you're up by 3, and you got to foul at some point. You have to. That should be burned into their brains at like the age of 10. Because when you're watching these games growing up, how are you not screaming at the TV, foul, you have to foul, and they never do it. But yet, Furman actually took, I thought, with 40 seconds left in regulation, a terrible, unwarranted 3. There was no business taking that 3 in regulation. Plenty of time on the shot clock. It was a bad shot. They did it anyway, and they missed. But that's when in end-of-game situations, Paulie, how many times in a 1 or 2-point game do you see a kid go dribble, 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 and the coach is like yelling, move, do something with the ball. I just called timeout to draw up a specific play, and the kid's like, nah, this is hero ball time, man. And he goes between the legs, and then he goes like tries to pull a James Harden with a step back, and from 28 feet, that's the shot that they get instead of going for a decent 2-point shot. It drives me nuts. But that, again, ties into that video. That Steph Curry has done that to basketball. This is how people want to play now.
Yeah,
I could argue that Steph Curry has changed the game more than anybody else in history.
How about that kid? Big man on campus. That's to go to the tournament.
Yeah.
What a shot.
Furman has not been in the tournament since 1980, I believe.
Oh, no.
And that's how close they were, like this.
Right, yeah.
And as soon as that ball went in, you just saw like 4 players from Furman just fall to the ground like, ah!
Yep.
Totally devastated.
Sure. One shot away. Shouldn't have come to that.
No.
But still, you're going to see a lot of that in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, you will?
You've got to foul. You must foul in that situation. But for the love of God, put a hand up.
Yeah.
Christ, it's a 3-point game. Mm-hmm. It ties it.
No more football. No problem. Bet Rivers Sportsbook serves up tennis, soccer, hockey, college, and pro basketball, plus more. Don't miss out on BetRivers' many daily specials or try your hand at live player props or same-game parlays. No matter what you bet on, you can count on your withdrawal approval happening fast with more than 80% of withdrawals approved instantly at BetRivers. Get started with life after football with the BetRivers app. Up next, a double shot with Matt Eumanns. Let's start off with games he likes on the college basketball betting board today, and maybe he'll throw in some more conference tournament outrights. That's coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
You're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams? Bet Rivers, as you covered, they've launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. CityCasts in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, LA, New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast.
All right, let's go full-blown beast mode right now. Matt Eumanns joins the program for two segments, his time of year, with March Madness upon us and a huge golf tournament coming up this weekend as well. You can catch Matt every single day on The Edge. It's 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific. Matt, thanks for the time. Let's begin in the Big Ten. If you want to give us the team that you like to maybe cut down the nets here in this conference on an outright, and then any games that you like that are on the board for this tournament early on.
Okay, these two segments are going to be powered by 5-Hour Energy. I just drank one for the first time in 20 years because I've gone through 10 conference tournaments since last night trying to find futures plays and individual games, and I still have a lot of work to do. In the Big Ten, a couple weeks ago, Circa put up Iowa at, I think, 9-1, and I was eyeing the Hawkeyes at that point as a long shot. Should have bet it. Did not. Hawkeyes won 9-11, 9 of 11 going into the Big Ten tournament. They probably should have won in Champaign on Sunday, allowed Illinois to get a share of the co-championship. But when I look at the bracket, I think it breaks pretty well for the Hawkeyes here. They're going to have to play the Nebraska Northwestern winner. Cornhuskers, one of the hottest teams in the nation right now. But still, Iowa would advance and play Rutgers, and then probably the Illinois-Michigan winner if the seeds hold. So the top half of the bracket's not too tough for the Hawkeyes. In the bottom half, you got Purdue and Wisconsin. Right now, the best price you can find, I've been looking through several different sports books to try to find the best odds on these teams. Best you can get on Iowa is plus 370 at DraftKings. Plus 350 is the consensus price. And before I get ambushed by the roll-it-over money line police, I'm going to say that the best way to play a lot of these conference tournament futures is to play the first game on the money line, roll over the winnings throughout the tournament, and you're probably going to get a better price at the end of it. And I think that's definitely going to be the case with the Hawkeyes. I think we're going to play Iowa that way instead of playing the 350. I'm pretty sure I'm going to get better than 5-1 if I roll over the money lines there. And Thursday's game, I asked Paul Stone what he made the number in Michigan, Indiana, and Paul said Michigan minus 2. So I was prepared to lay 2 or 3 with the Wolverines in that game, and that's going to be one of my best bets for Thursday. Michigan beat Indiana 80-62 in Bloomington on January 23rd. Mike Woodson said at that point he wanted another shot at the Wolverines. I think it's kind of a be careful what you wish for situation here with Juwan Howard coming back, Hunter Dickinson, who missed Sunday's game at Ohio State. I presume he's going to be back. Mm-hmm. That was surprising that the Wolverines beat the Buckeyes in Columbus 75-69 with Dickinson out and Caleb Houston, star freshman, shooting 0-for-10 from the field. Michigan's 11-9 in the conference, Indiana 9-11. The Hoosiers need a win to get in the NCAA tournament fields. They're going to be desperate, but I just don't think this Indiana team's good enough. But a little-known fact here, in 20-plus years of the Big Ten tournament, Indiana has never won it.
Wow. Oh. Okay. Juicy tidbit there. Very good. How about up the street? Pac-12. You can see, find a low price here, $1.20 range with Arizona. I think they should go to the championship game. Will they meet UCLA? Will form hold? Do you have a long shot here? How do you see the Pac-12?
So Arizona is minus 130 favorite at Circa right now. Arizona State, I think, is an interesting long shot at 110-1. I'm not going to play the Sun Devils because I just don't think they can get through that half of the bracket. But if you're looking for a bomb, maybe that's something to consider. Bobby Hurley's really had that team playing a lot better in the second half of the season. I think Oregon at 22-1 is going to be a chic pick for a lot of people. in the Pac-12. Oregon's going to get through Oregon State, no problem. Colorado shouldn't be much of a problem. And then top-seeded Arizona. And really, if you watch the game, the Ducks should have beat the Wildcats in Tucson a couple of weeks ago. It's not out of the question that Dana Altman could get this team to regroup and make a tournament run here. We saw one of the most unlikely tournament runs of any team in recent years last year with Oregon State going through the Pac-12 tournament in Vegas. So it wouldn't shock me if Oregon does it. And 22-1, I actually bet that at Circa tonight. UCLA, USC, the 2 and 3 seeds in the bottom half of the bracket.
I found UCLA at plus 280 yesterday here in town. Mm-hmm. Only reason why I bet it, because most books have like plus 175.
Okay.
And I made I thought the number would be like plus 220, 225. I do like Arizona to win this thing, but plus 280, I thought I could not resist on UCLA. And I see your point about Oregon, because Altman's so good this time of year. But man, they disappointed me this year. Now, how have you, in up all night, going through all these conference tournaments, I've had a tough time trying to find anything that I like based on the numbers in the Big 12. What did you come up with there?
By the way, you're right about the Ducks. I think the biggest disappointment of any major conference team in the Big 12, I think this is going to be a popular play with some people, but I was talking with Paul Stone about it yesterday. Texas is a plus 650 to win the Big 12, and that's about the best price you're going to find out there. That's at the Westgate Superbook right now. Circa's got 6-1. Texas has got to beat TCU in the Thursday opener and then has to get through Kansas. But I'll tell you what, the Jayhawks have been pretty shaky down the stretch. And I know they're in position to be a one seed in the NCAA tournament, but they have not played like a one seed. And Texas probably should have beat Kansas in that game in Lawrence on Saturday afternoon. Chris Beard, we know he can make tournament runs. I think plus 650 on Texas is a decent play. You've got Baylor and Texas Tech in the bottom half of that bracket. So I made a small play on Texas here to win the Big 12.
Okay. How about here? Well, we have so many tournaments going on this week. It's nuts. But what did you find in the Mountain West Conference? Did you find a good number on Colorado State, or are you looking elsewhere?
You know, I'm not going to look at Colorado State here. I'm actually going to look at San Diego State because of its suffocating defense and the fact that Aztecs have so much success in this tournament in the past, and actually found plus 330 at DraftKings, plus 325 at Circa. Those were the best numbers in the market on San Diego State. And the number 4, Wyoming, plays number 5, UNLV, and the winner gets Boise. The 8-9 game, I think, is really interesting. It's Nevada and New Mexico on Wednesday. And you can find Nevada at 75-1 at Circa right now. And if you watch the Wolfpack Saturday night, they're finally fully healthy. They got 3 guards who can light it up. I wouldn't shock me if the Wolfpack makes some sort of run in this tournament. Steve Alford's had success in conference tournaments in the past. I remember Iowa in the Big Ten and New Mexico in the Mountain West, 75-1. Maybe if we're looking for a bomb, it's Nevada. San Diego State, to me, does not have an easy road, but it's not impossible. The Aztecs got Fresno, probably Colorado State, which I know they can beat, and they blew them out in San Diego. And then Boise if the Broncos get through the top half of the bracket. So I don't think there's much odds value in the Mountain West. When you look at, what do you got, like 6 teams, it's single-digit odds. It's very difficult to make a strong case for saying, hey, there's value on the Aztecs to win this. But that's my pick to win the Mountain West at a plus Mountain West plus 325 at Circa.
Well, the money, Paulie and Mitch VSiN. Matt Youmans, our guest, VSiN senior editor, host of The Edge. Get Point Spread weekly. It is dynamite. It's always good. And the brackets and schedules are all up on all these conferences as well. Point Spread weekly, cover jinx strikes again. And I'm sure you were emotional watching Coach K's final home game. You probably needed some Kleenex there. But so what are you thinking? Do you think this kind of helps them? And you can see like $1.30 to win the ACC tournament coming off the embarrassing loss.
Yeah, by the way, that point spread cover jinx was intentional. I wrote about Coach K and said to put him on the cover last week on purpose. So that worked out. That worked out pretty well. I do think the Duke debacle on Saturday against Carolina, as funny as it was watching all the crying fans and the party that got crashed, I do think it's going to make Duke a little bit more dangerous in the postseason. You're going to see a fully focused Blue Devils team that's got plenty of talent and is capable. I bet Duke at minus 125 to win the ACC. Looks like they're going to get the winner of Florida State, Syracuse, and then probably have to play Miami That'd be a revenge game. The Blue Devils lost to the Hurricanes by one at home. Hey, prior to Saturday, Duke had lost three ACC games by a total of 4 points. So I still think Duke should be the clear favorite. Minus 125 to me was a fair price here to win the ACC. I think Mitch made that bet as well. In the bottom half of the bracket, you got Notre Dame at 10-1 and North Carolina. I think it's going to be a Duke-Notre Dame title game.
Okay, very good. Matt, hang tight. We'll bring you back for another segment. We appreciate it today. Other picks that you like with the outrights for these tournaments and some games that are on the board right now, plus your thoughts of a loaded field this weekend at the Players' Championship. Some huge odds out there and really good golfers. And you can get an early start in your college basketball tournament betting with VSiN's full court bracket betting coverage starting this Sunday. 6 hours of free video, live video streaming on VSiN.com, including the full bracket reveal and opening lines for every single great game. It is great coverage every single year. We're talking about VSiN's college hoops experts, Greg Peterson, Matt Eumanns, Jonathan Vodtobel, Tim Murray. They're going to analyze every game, discuss the bookmaking makers making the lines to find the best early value. Don't wait for the lines to move. Start your bracket on round one tournament betting with the VSiN College Hoops experts on Sunday at 6 o'clock Eastern, free on VSiN.com.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get everything you need to bet the madness this year. 24/7 streaming, daily best bet emails, our tournament betting guide, data strategy, $19. Whether you're filling out a bracket or betting against the spread, we're here to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Sign up today to get the betting guide, plus full access to VSiN through April 5th for only $19 at VSiN.com/Madness. Another segment with Matt Eumanns. Golf coming up. We continue with conference tournament picks. AAC, I'm concerned with how Houston's playing here down the stretch. The one seed, they have an easy path. It appears to be easy to the title game, and the AAC was down this year. Cincinnati garbage, Wichita a down year. Lurking there is red-hot Memphis, but they might meet SMU, who's on the bubble in the semis, and SMU swept them. How do you see this tournament?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really difficult for SMU to beat Memphis three times, and I'm not using a three-team three-times cliche. It's just Memphis is a really hot team right now. Since Penny Hardaway's rant, the Tigers have been playing really good basketball. I mean, they got a ton of talent, most talent of any team in that league. There's no question about it. I think Tulane, the five seed, could be a little bit dangerous in the top half of the bracket with Houston. It's just not the same Houston team because of injuries that we saw in December, and that's why Memphis was able to pull off the season sweep. I think you're probably going to see a Memphis-Houston title game, and I still think 3-1 is actually not a bad bet on Memphis to win the American.
Okay. How about the Big East? Villanova, the shortest shot on the board, obviously, at around plus 150, but then you have a bunch of other teams near the top that are pretty damn good, and they put together some nice years. So how do you look at the Big East?
Well, I'll tell you one game I'm going to bet, and I believe it's Wednesday, Butler plus 6.5 against Xavier. Butler lost by 2 at Xavier on February 2nd. Bulldogs are finally at full strength, and they got 4 players who are big time. Bo Hodges, Chuck Harris, Bryce Goldman, Bryce Enzi. And when all those guys are healthy, I think Butler is going to be a dangerous team. So I'm taking 6.5 against the Musketeers in that game. But as far as Big East from the big picture, Providence, the one seed, I don't think is going to draw many action from many people. The Friars have been playing with fire, and a lot of sharps have been betting against the Friars, and I think we're going to see Providence get exposed a little bit in the postseason. But that Villanova-UConn game, the 2-3 in the bottom half, is going to be a monster. I just like Villanova so much because of Colin Gillespie and the experienced guards, and I think Jay Wright's going to find a way to win that tournament. Villanova plus 150 would be my play in the Big East.
Who's your 7-1 shot that you like in the Big West?
Fullerton, believe it or not. And I wrote this up for VSiN.com. Fullerton was 11-4 in the Big West. This tournament's going to be in Henderson at the new Dollar Loan Center. I'm going to plan to go out there and catch a couple games the next 2 days. But Fullerton has got the easiest half of the bracket here, and by far the easiest half of the bracket, because the top three favorites on the odds board are all in the top half of the bracket. Mm. And Fullerton actually swept Irvine and UC Santa Barbara in the regular season here. So I actually think with E.J. Anasicki, the Tennessee transfer, who's a big-time player, and three really good guards, of Fullerton at 7-1 is some pretty good odds value on a team that was 11-4 in the Big West Conference. So that's where I'm looking at that tournament here in Vegas. Fullerton would have to go through Riverside and Hawaii to get the title game, and that's shouldn't be too difficult for the Titans.
Matt, how do you balance this week, by the way, between all the games that are on and then so many tournaments out here in Las Vegas? Do you try to go to a couple of different conference tournaments every single year between that, betting, and, you know, watching as many games as possible on TV, or how do you operate here?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I try to record as many games as possible. I'm going to bounce around from the Big West. I'm going to actually go out to a game at the WAC tournament, Mandalay Bay, tonight. Big West, hit the Pac-12 for sure on Friday. And then when we get to the weekend, I think, I'm pretty sure Mike Palm set up a cabana for us at Stadium Swim on Saturday. So if you guys want to come out, we're going to be out at Stadium Swim just watching games on Saturday. So probably just go out to games Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday we'll hang out at Stadium Swim. But yeah, it's. I mean, this is awesome. This is a very underrated week, by the way. Oh, everybody talks about March Madness.
Absolutely.
Think about the first 2 days of the tournament, Thursday and Friday, to me are the best 2 days of the year. But this is a very underrated week because you got games early in the morning to late at night.
I made the case last week. Friday's the best day of the season. Coming up this week. Yes. Okay. How about some golf picks? TPC Championship. This is great. And some juicy prices on some big names. How do you handicap the golf tournament?
This is basically the fifth major, and you got such a stacked field that I think it's kind of difficult to be selective this week. You want to bet so many players, and you have to hold yourself back. And Colin Morikawa, to me, is the best bet on the board. He tied for second at Riviera a few weeks ago. But if you look at this tournament last year at TPC Sawgrass, he struggled in the first few rounds a little bit. But by the fourth round, he figured out the course. And he shot the lowest round of anybody on the course on Sunday with a 66. And I think Morikawa's game fits pretty much every course, but definitely fits here. And 16-1, I played him. Daniel Berger, a couple of weeks ago, blew it at the Honda. He's got two top tens at Sawgrass, and I think Berger at 30-1 is going to play well here as well. And don't forget, there's going to be some wind. There's going to be tough conditions. You got to look for guys who are good wind players this week, and I think that's why you're going to see Matt Fitzpatrick probably be a guy to get some play. He's at about 40-1. He was one off the lead going into the weekend last year. He's got four consecutive top tens this year. Shane Lowry was eighth in this tournament last year. He's another guy who's a good win player. He's at about 50-1. Adam Scott probably fits the mold, but I'm not going to bet Adam Scott just because he hasn't been a closer in the last couple of years. And if you're betting guys on the futures board, you're looking for value, but also guys who can close. And Scott, not been a closer. I think Mitch remembers this well. Hideki Matsuyama shot a first-round 63 in 2020 in this tournament. I bet him. I think Mitch bet him. He was the leader, and that tournament got canceled after the first round.
Yep.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I recall.
Good call. Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was so I think you got to take a look at Matsuyama. I mean, there's such fat prices on some of these really talented players, too. And two of the guys you're going to see at sky-high prices that you never see this week, DJ at 35-1, we know he's all out of sorts. Is he capable of getting it together this week? Certainly. DJ at 35-1 has got to interest you a little bit. But how about Brooks Koepka up in the 40s? And Koepka, it's not like his current form is poor, because he was in the running to win in Scottsdale on Super Bowl weekend. Koepka didn't really play up to expectations in the Honda when I bet him. But you can find Koepka anywhere from 41 to Mitch said 48-1. I didn't see that, but that was one local book's got 48. Circa's got 41-1. Brooks Koepka is going to be on my card at 41-1 for sure.
Yep, I would agree with that. Yeah, no, you're right. As you said, you can't have everybody. And, you know, sometimes it is tough to justify making bets on certain. Like, Matt, I've said probably for, I don't know, 18 months now, at some point, Victor Hovland could maybe be the best golfer on the entire tour. He's getting there right now. But you just have to avoid, like, the landmine that's eventually going to happen. And that took place again with that kid over the weekend.
Yeah, I made a bet on Hovland during the tournament, and it looked like he was going to win over the weekend. They missed a couple of putts inside 5 feet. Typically, he's such a steady player, he doesn't make mistakes like that. But it's, these golf tournaments on Sunday have been absolutely crazy, and this is going to be another one. This, like I said, it's a stacked field. It's basically like a warm-up to the Masters in a few weeks. You've got every elite player imaginable in the field this week.
In 90 seconds, you were live on the air when the Ridley story broke. What do you think of the year suspension?
Well, it's too much. I think it's overblown controversy, and I was hoping it was not going to be a mainstream media circus yesterday with a bunch of uneducated opinions about the dangers of gambling and the how this threatens the integrity of the game. Yes, he violated a written rule as an NFL player. You can't bet on NFL games. You have to be smarter than that. But at the same time, he was inactive. He was away from the team. He bet small money on three parlays, three, five, and an eight-teamer, I think. It's obvious he didn't have inside information. This is not something that's going to be a great concern to the league. I think Roger Goodell is trying to make an example out of Calvin Ridley here. But to me, it's not a big deal. And I was just hoping that, all the national media commentators were not going to make it out to be a much bigger thing than it is, because you guys probably have the same opinion. This is in no way a threat to the integrity of the game.
Right.
If you want to look at the NFL in the last couple of years, you had a blown call to put the wrong team in the Super Bowl in the Rams-Saints game. You had controversial calls at the end of the Super Bowl. To me, the biggest threat to the integrity of the game in the NFL is incompetent officiating, not something as trivial as this.
Well said, Matt. Thanks for the time today. That was great, and good luck this week.
All right, you bet. Thanks.
Follow him on Twitter. He's at MattHumans 24/7. The first hour of Follow the Money is presented exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Get a 20% live profit boost on the NBA every Tuesday. Must be 21 plus. Offer is not valid in all areas. Check BetRivers.com for full offer details and rules. Up next, six title games on tap for tonight, and we will remind you this morning, underdogs in the championship game are 13-2 ATS in the last 15 games, including 11 outright upsets of this conference tournament. Details on that coming up next.